Welcome to my little cabin in the woods on Spooky Island, where each week I tell you scary stories from around the world. From stories of possession and ghosts to UFOs and Wendigos. Sit back, relax, and tune in as it's time for Spooky Island Radio.
Over and out.
Well, welcome back everybody to week 10 of Spooky Island Radio. This week, there's not many announcements at the start. I'm going to jump straight into things, really. This week is a bit of a continuation on from the last main Spooky Island Radio episode, where I spoke about a missing 411 case involving a little girl going missing. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. It's a great one. So now this is another second episode of talking about missing 411 cases. So yeah, let's just jump straight into it really. Not much to announce, just want to say thank you again to everybody who's followed me on Instagram, everyone who's given me likes and reviews, it really helps. So yeah, thank you very much. And without further ado, really, let's get straight into it. Just to remind you that at the end I will be doing Spooky Island Radio Film Club, and I just finished watching VHS. It's like a film back from 2012. It's an interesting one, that's all I'll say. But yeah, if you want to hear my thoughts on that, then stick around to the end. And this week I also have a listener story from someone who got in touch on Instagram, and yeah, we'll be giving him a bit of a shout out later in the show. And yeah, he's given me some stories of some investigations he's been on, I believe. But I've not actually read them. I got them today via email, and I wanted my reaction to be the actual reaction, so I've not actually pre-read them. But he also sent me through a video of a supposed EVP, so I'll play that a bit later in the show as well. Just to mention as well, I'm trying to do this a bit more freestyle now. So if there's a lot of ums and then it's probably just because I'm losing where I am. So I'm going to try not to cut it so much. And I've got a new setup at home where I might even be putting video of me recording as well over some stuff on Instagram. So yeah. So bear with me while I go through this little bit of a change, but with all that said, let's get straight into this week's main story. So yeah, like I previously said, we're sticking with the missing 411 cases that are spreading through America. I think it's around 2,000 people a year go missing in mysterious circumstances. So yeah, I go more into depth on what the 411 is, the missing 411 I should say, in last week's episode. So I recommend going back and listening to that if you want to get some more scares, but also find out a bit more about what the missing 411 is, because I'm not going to be going into that really today. So let's get going. America's most visited national park is called the Great Smoky Mountains, and it is an ideal gateway. Hike, camp, and experience one of America's oldest mountain ranges. Established in 1926, Great Smoky Mountain National Park consists of ridge upon ridge of seemingly endless forests on the border between North Carolina and Tennessee. Called the Smokies due to the ever-present morning fog. The mountain range is world-renowned for the diversity of its plant and animal life. The beauty of its ancient mountains and its history of southern Appalachian mountain culture. With nearly 80 historic buildings, spectacular displays of wildflowers, and abundant wildlife, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park offers a myriad of activities to enjoy. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park region is divided down its length by the Tennessee-North Carolina border. There are waterfalls throughout the park with larger falls like Grottoes, Laurel, Abrams, Rainbow and Mingo, drawing over 200,000 visitors per year. I mean, they sound like a bit of knockoff for the Seven Dwarfs, don't they? Grotto, Laurel, Abrams, Rainbow and Mingo. But anyway, yeah, whatever they are called, I suppose. It is at this point again we must talk about David Paulides and the missing 411 cases. Paulides was interested in all these cold cases involving the National Park Service and began compiling and sifting through what data he could collect to look for trends. What he found intrigued and disturbed him. Paulides was particularly interested in cases where people appear to simply vanish into thin air, and this is what today's main story is about. Is it possible for someone to disappear into thin air, sometimes never even to be found again? My last story, I believe, was, I don't know, there's a lot of theories knocking about. There's like Bigfoot, aliens, or even sort of like wild people. So films like Wrong Turn and things like that are not actually as far-fetched as you might think at first. Like, it's totally possible that there's wild people living in these mountain ranges. So yeah, that's kind of what I believe the last story was. A little girl being taken by either something like Bigfoot or these wild people. But again, like I say, if you want to hear more about that and that chilling tale of what happened, then listen to my last episode, because today's story is a little bit different. Today, I found this story with a bit of a different take on the missing 411. So chill out, relax, as it's time for the story of the missing 411, the park ranger, and the lights in the sky. I never wanted to write a story like this, but it had to be done. Many of my friends had spoken before about lights in the night sky, or noises in the forest that did not seem like they belonged. And I did not want to be one of those people adding to the stories that are there, but hey, here I am, on the internet, adding to the whole mystery surrounding the 411 missing cases. But I can't help it. There is so much going on in North America's national parks, and people need to know what happened to me. I was a park ranger in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park for around 10 years. It was such an amazing job for me. I loved being out in nature and helping people out and getting to speak to hikers and visitors all about this incredible national park. I am posting this story anonymously, as implications of this story could get co-workers who still work for the Rangers Department into trouble. There came a time when as a team we were few in numbers. A few guys had left in the last few months, and in order to still patrol our area, we were separated into groups of two. I myself worked with, well, I won't say his name, but let's call him Gary. And we worked 4 days on and 3 days off in shifts to make sure that there was always people to be called upon should anything happen in our section of the park. We were stationed at a ranger outpost / visitor centre. The first day was just like any other really. The weather was incredible, cold, brisk but dry, an amazing autumn day, or fall. I remember speaking to a young couple going hiking and who planned to camp under the stars that night. They asked me questions about what to look out for and if there were anywhere I recommended they could set up camp for the night. I marked on their map a small area close to the stream that runs through the park. The last piece of advice I gave them was to check they had bear spray to hand, because this is an area where black bears are in high concentration. They're not as aggressive as grizzlies, but it's always good to have some to hand. They went on their way, and as the sun started to set a few hours later, the night sky that night was so clear, to the point where I put on some warm clothes and sat outside the ranger outpost / visitor centre where we were staying with a warm decaf coffee. I noticed something in the sky. It was an orange light moving across the sky. I followed it and it dipped down behind the tree line and seemed to be following the stream. My radio started playing some static, and when I tried to tune it into a frequency, it squealed back, and I got horrible, screeching feedback. It was just so strange, and just as I started to think, what the fuck is that? Gary tapped me on the shoulder and said we should try and get some sleep. I was slightly freaked out, but I was super sleepy, and in this job, you have to sleep when you can. The second day, I woke up and I was thinking of not much of the night before. It was just another glorious day in paradise, and I was happy to see the young couple from the day before. I asked them how they got on, and that I didn't expect to see them so soon. They spoke about the fact they were cutting their trip short, and when I pressed them on this, they said they had some strange experiences the night before. They said they could hear strange noises around their tent. First they heard what sounded like mechanical noises, like the low hum of a drone, that's what they put it down to in the end. But then they heard footsteps and voices. But they could not understand the voices. They said they were so scared, and they got up to confront what was ever outside, and as they stood up in their tent, the voices and footsteps stopped, and a bright light illuminated the campground. I did believe them, but I had no idea what would be able to cause something like this to happen. I asked them to mark on my map where they camped, and that I would go spend the night and investigate. And before this night, I was never scared of the dark, or of being in the woods on my own. That, however, was about to change. I spoke to Gary and explained the situation, and he agreed I should go and investigate and to keep my radio with me in case I needed him. I found the spot where they camped. It was nice, a small opening in the middle of some very tall trees, and close to the stream too. I could just hear the water trickling in the distance. I managed to set up my hammock that I would be sleeping in that night, set up a perimeter and started to investigate the area whilst I still had daylight working with me. Not too far from the campsite, I found some small, what looked like footsteps, one in front of the other, like toddler-sized footsteps. I followed them, which led me to what looked like scorched marks on the floor, and it was close to where the guys reported the origin of the bright light. I touched the ground and felt a cold shiver run down my spine, and the hair spiked up on the back of my neck. I was all of a sudden aware of just how isolated I was. Normally this wouldn't bother me, but something about this situation just felt wrong. I raced back to where my hammock was, and I debated heading back, but the night had started to roll in, along with some bad weather. I tried to reach Gary on the radio, but I was getting nothing but static. Heavy thunder and lightning was now all around me, so I decided the best thing to do would be to get into my hammock and try and ride it out. Something just felt wrong. What was the matter with me? I'd always been fine in situations like this, but I felt so isolated, and for the first time, I felt so scared. I heard a low humming drone sound, which the young hikers recalled hearing the night before. I mean, was I just imagining this? Was this all like a seed implanted in my mind from them telling me about this sound the night before? But I mean, it was difficult to tell between the thunderclaps, but it was definitely there. And then it just stopped. I decided to be brave and look out at the hammock, and I wish I hadn't. I was in the eye of the storm now, and thunderclaps and lightning strikes were lighting up the area around me every few seconds. And then I looked, and I saw it. The lightning was illuminating a figure in between the trees. A small, humanoid creature walking towards me. Bang! And another lightning strike. And now, I could see multiple creatures coming towards me. My radio was now screeching with feedback, and everything in my body was telling me to run. And with one last flash, the figures were now right in front of me. I fell out of my hammock and just ran, my radio still screeching and the sound of footsteps running behind me. I found the start of the trail as thunder was still crashing and lightning illuminating the forest around me still. I just kept running and running. I was only about 2 miles away from Gary and the ranger outpost. Looking to my left and my right as the lightning flashed, I could see the creatures looking at me. as I looked back to the trail and to where I was running, there was a creature right in front of me. It grabbed me. And all of a sudden, I must have blacked out as I woke up in the morning. The feeling of dread had gone, and I woke up to a crisp morning. The storm had gone, and I could hear voices talking. I found a group of hikers and asked them if they could point me in the way at the visitor centre. They all looked really shocked to see me and pointed me and said I was about a 30-minute walk down this trail. I walked to the visitor centre and everybody stopped what they were doing and just stared at me. I approached Gary and tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around and hugged me. I said, what's going on? He said, you've been missing. I said, I just got a little bit lost yesterday. Chill out. He looked confused and said, no, you've been missing for 3 months. What? I fell down and said, you're joking me. I've just been away overnight. Gary explained that there had been searches for weeks, but they could not find anything. All they found was my bag and my hammock, but could find no trace of me anywhere. They thought I'd been killed by a black bear or something and gave up hope. Like, what the actual fuck? Where had I been for 3 months? And what was it pursuing me in the woods that night? And more importantly, what did they do to me? Well, another incredible missing 411 story. I mean, that's one of the things that they say is, like, it's usually by water, usually taken by water. There's bad weather when you disappear or when they try to organise searches, that sort of thing. So similar things do correlate with Pilatus's missing 411 cases. I just thought it was really interesting. It's such a different take compared to the one last week. And I mean, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know my take on aliens. I do think they are real. I mean, and that's another thing, the loss in time. You know, people always say they've only been gone for a few minutes and it's been 5 hours, and they don't know what they've done with that time. Like, this guy had no memory of where he'd been for 3 months. So it's a creepy one, another creepy one, and like another different take on what it could be in these national parks, because obviously 2,000 people a year ago missing in the park, something must be happening. But what? That's for you to decide. I think it's a mixture of a few different things. I think there are creatures like Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever you want to call them. But I also do think that there are lights in the sky, so it's a mixture. So, yeah, moral of the story, don't go hiking in America's national parks, because likelihood is you'll be taken by either Bigfoot, an alien, or like a wild person to be eaten. So, why risk it? But what do you think? Let me know on Instagram what you thought and what your take is, and I might give them a shout out on the next show if I get some good ones. So thank you for listening to that story, and with all that said and done, let's get into the listener story of the week. Let's go. Let's get into this listener story. I'm so excited to hear it because, like I said, I got the email with the Word document attached, and I didn't want to spoil it myself. So, yeah, first time reading for me and first time hearing for you. So let's get straight into it. So if you want to, this guy's, he's got a great Instagram page. He reached out on Instagram saying he's got some EVP footage and some stories he'd like to tell. So I said, yeah, send him over. So if you want to go follow him as well on Instagram, his name is Tommy Terrifier. And basically, he's got like number zeros where there's an O and number threes where there's an E. So bit of a, I can't see it off my screen because I'm recording. But yeah, Tommy Terrifier on Instagram has got a great page, so go show him some love. So let's get straight into it. And his email title is Stories from the Paranormal. Very aptly titled, I think you'll find. So let's get into it. Hi, I'm Thomas, and I would like to share my personal experiences that I've encountered with the paranormal. It all began when I was born on the 9th of August 2007. I suffer from a heart defect from forever since I was brought into this world. In my whole 15 to nearly 16 years, I have had multiple surgeries, including open heart surgery. Trust me, this information is extremely relevant to this series of events, which I will now begin to tell you. My first ever encounter with what I believe was a spirit was when I was 12, during the first lockdown of the COVID-19 pandemic. You may be thinking, he was only a child, and children do have very creative imaginations. But I can assure you that it was never my imagination. This was real life. One night I was laying in bed. It was normal to hear strange noises coming from my room. The room I stayed in had a boiler, and we all know that boilers make some strange noises. I was laying on my side facing the wall when a cold chill went down my neck. It was a type of cold chill that would come from somebody's mouth after being out on a freezing day in the snow. Every single hair on my body stood up and I was frozen stiff. This wasn't sleep paralysis. Someone or something was behind me. As this was my first occurrence, I put it down to a draft or my window being open. Yet my window was closed and it was a warm day. Not much happened after that apart from the occasional feeling of being watched. I remember being at my grandparents a few months later. That night I was home for a few hours while my gran was at work. I was at the age of 13, so I was still in my very... I was still very trusted to look after the dog and the house while my grandparents are out at work or somewhere else. I remember the occasion very well. I was tidying my room when all of a sudden, my dog started to aggressively bark and growl on the landing whilst focused on my gran's bedroom door. I told her to shut up, and she did. Yet, she was still focused on that door. An hour had passed, and I had completely forgotten what happened in the prior hour, until a familiar voice was heard coming from my gran's bedroom. My gran worked with a lady called, well, let's just call her Mary. Mary was Portuguese and had a very high-pitched voice. This was the voice that came from the bedroom. Hi Linda, or bye Linda, is what I heard, with what sounded like Mary's voice. My dog began to bark once again at the door, and this is when I started to freak out. I was home alone and I was hearing voices coming from my gran's bedroom. My first instinct was to call my gran asking if she got home early, but she was still at work. I checked her room after ending the phone call, and to my surprise, nobody was inside. We move further into the future to October 2021. Now at the age of 14, I move into a new home with my mother, my cat, and my little brother. A new start for my family and I. Everything was great. I had a bigger and better bedroom than my previous home, until the nights I started hearing noises and my cat would freak out, staring at the wall on my landing, which he still does to this very day. It's a new house and there are going to be weird and unfamiliar noises. I was telling my friend at the time what was happening with my cat. My friend said that it was a new home and my cat would still be getting used to it, and it was new territory for him. I agreed with my friend and said that all of this ghost stuff was bullshit. As soon as I said that, my Google Home Mini threw itself from my shelf to my bedroom floor. I was startled, but yet coincidences do and can happen. Another 2 months would pass, and now we would be in December. In my house, I have the type of stairs where you go straight up, and there's a little landing part which you turn around, going up the other two steps. Around 3 a.m, I was walking up the stairs when my name was said by a very deep, aggressive voice. I went dizzy and my heart skipped a beat. This happened on the part of the landing which my cat would sit and stare at the wall. Shaken and confused, I stumbled into my mother's room and asked her if she said my name. But no, she was asleep and I'd just woken her up. This happened twice. Things started to move and disappear from where they originally were. Even my mother said that she doesn't believe me and doesn't believe in the paranormal. I know somewhere in her mind she believes it. She has told me she has heard voices and things randomly move all the time. There are so many more stories I have and that I could tell, but we shall keep this short. So here is the last one from me. Earlier this year, in April, I visited a museum called the Rum Story in Whitehaven in Cumbria. To get the idea of the details about this place, I recommend you give it the website a search and read all about the museum. It is a small team of my father, his friends and I decided it was a great idea to investigate one of the rooms. We used a K2 meter and a ghost box. If you don't know what a K2 meter is and a ghost box are, then I shall tell you. A K2 meter picks up on any electromagnetic field and rise in temperature, and a ghost box picks up any frequencies such as radio stations. From that investigation, we managed to capture a lot of footage and evidence of there being something other than us in the room. You are now about to hear the audio from the video I took. If you listen very closely, you should hear a voice at the end whisper that sounds a lot like the name Thomas. Thomas, basically. I whispered for dramatic effect. I hope you enjoyed it. I did not realise what I had captured until I went over the footage multiple times. If you remember what I spoke about at the start about me having heart problems, this is why it becomes relevant. I personally believe I died for maybe a split second during my surgery, and I am now somehow connected to the dead. Some may say it's stupid conspiracy, but I believe that it could be the reason spirits are attracted to me. Thank you for listening to my experiences of the paranormal. Well, that's a lovely little email. If you've got more stories, Thomas, send them. I want to hear them all. If they're all as good as that. I mean, yeah, it's very strange. Maybe something did happen during one of your surgeries. Because they do say maybe something came back with you. Maybe now, since you've been on the other side and back on our side now, that, yeah, you're a bit more in tune to those sorts of things. But, yeah, I've got the recording. I'm going to play it but I'll play it just now. Let me just get it set up. But, yeah, it's only about a 3-second video. And listen, at the end, somebody says something and then you can hear, well, I think you can. Say Thomas. So, yeah, here we go. Let's hear it.
Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but because Thomas sent me that a few days before he sent me the story, just because he was writing the story. Obviously, it takes time, and it was so well written. So, again, thank you for sending it in. It was a pleasure to read. Thank you. Yeah, I was just stumped by that EVP. Usually, you don't hear things like that clear. But yeah, let me know what you think so I can pass it on to Thomas. Message me on Instagram, or leave a review. And yeah, let me know what you think and I'll pass it on. And like I say, Thomas, if you got more creepy stories like these, send them to me. So thank you very much, and let's get into
the Spooky Island Radio Film Club.
So yeah, like I said on the previous episode, I was going to be watching VHS. It's a bit of an old film now. It's about 11 years old. I think it came out in 2012. And yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. You could tell it was like right at the start of when all of this, basically a found footage film about these people that are tasked to go and collect these VHSs, break into this guy's house and steal all of his VHSs. So it's like following their story of breaking into this guy's house. They find him dead and it's very creepy. But then throughout, it's basically like almost like an anthology film. So there's probably about seven stories, all different found footage scenarios. So like there's one where these guys take these girls back to their motel room and they're attacked by this girl and she's like this crazy succubus demon sort of thing. And then there's like another one where this girl takes her and her mates into the woods to try and capture a ghost. It's all really crazy. I mean, the acting probably isn't greatest, I must say. You can tell it's, well, probably had a low budget. I'd say it's like an entertaining film. It's not the scariest, I wouldn't say. But I think it just lacked a little bit. I was kind of hoping that basically all of the different stories would link up at the end or something like that, and yeah, they don't really, so it's a bit, left me a bit empty really, because people say it's quite a good scary film, but I wasn't that blown away by it, I've got to say. I mean, if you've got, because I have like a Shudder subscription, shout out to Shudder, please sponsor me. Yeah, I got Shudder subscription, so it's free on there, but it was okay. I wouldn't rush out and watch it. If you've got a Shudder subscription, a free Saturday afternoon, stick it on. But nothing spectacular. So I would give it the rating on the spooky scale of safe to watch in the dark by yourself. Like, it's not that scary and won't have any lasting effects on you. So give it a watch if you've got some spare time. But if not, you're not missing out. So yeah, so let's find out. Let's spin the wheel and find out what film I'm going to be watching for next episode. So a drum roll, please. Okay, so All Hallows Eve, that's the film. Now, I've got this on the wheel because I heard a little bit about it, but I also know that it's part of a franchise, so you've probably heard of it. It's even in Thomas's name, who the listener story is from, but from Terrifier 2. It's just come on my radar, and this new sort of villain, this clown, another killer clown. But I believe this is the film it originated from. So what I might do is for the next few weeks is watch them in order. So start off with All Hallows Eve, and then Terrifier 1 and Terrifier 2. So if you want to listen along, then in 2 weeks' time I'll be reviewing All Hallows Eve. So yeah, and that is it for this week, this week's episode. Hope you all enjoyed it. It's a bit of a different take I'm trying to take on it, trying to be a bit more laid back, not so so uptight about the recording. I just have a bit more fun with it. So yeah, hope you enjoyed it. As always, if you can follow me on Instagram and drop me a like, a subscribe, and if even better, leave me a 5-star review if you loved it. And if you hated it, leave me a 5-star review anyway, because why not? You know, it means nothing to you, but it means a lot to me. So yeah, so remember, next week you can listen out for a Campfire Tales episode, and I've got some very, very, very spooky stories planned for that week. So hope you'll enjoyed, and see you next time.
Over and out.